Advocate of an educated Alaska mining industry, and they fully support the placer miners in their effort to provide a stable, healthy industry for Fairbanks and interior Alaska. If you're looking for value in transportation, call Golden Nugget Taxi at 451-TAXI. That's 451-8294. Remember, let's keep our mining industry strong, and when you need a lift around town, call Golden Nugget Taxi at 451-8294. Remember, Golden Nugget Taxi believes a working community is a healthy community. Let's work together to keep our mining industry strong. A message from Golden Nugget Taxi, which offers reasonable rates and courteous, friendly service. When you need transportation, call Golden Nugget Taxi at 451-8294. That's 451-TAXI. And by the way, tell them you heard of their support for the industry from Jim on KFAR's Alaska Gold Trails. 660 on your radio dial.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Trumbull for Johnny Holiday, reporting on sports. Don't try to give Kirk Gibson a hot foot or use one of those buzzers when you shake his hand. The Dodgers outfielder takes umbrage at practical jokers, it seems. He even stormed out of the Dodger camp after some of his teammates riled him by smearing anti-glare around the rim of his cap. That leaves you with a nice ring around the head. Gibson didn't like the ring of it, but he was back in camp today after the Dodgers got his teammates to agree to let up on the practical joking. He's lucky he didn't have Larry Zonka on his team, as any of Zonk's former Dolphins teammates can tell you, like the time Coach Don Shula found a baby alligator in his shower. But that's another story. Some big-time college basketball will happen this weekend. On Sunday, Syracuse meets Pittsburgh, and Orangeman coach Jim Boeheim remembers how they squeaked by earlier this year.
We played the best game we played all year against Pittsburgh the first time, and they didn't play anywhere near as well as they're capable of playing, and we still came down to the end being up 2 points. So, you know, we know that we're going to have our hands full with Pittsburgh. You know, they played the best all year in the league, and, you know, they've got to, you know, they'll be very tough. They won up here last year, so they know that they certainly can play up here. They've had success up here before, so that helped, I think, in that situation.
Syracuse will move on to the Big East tournament next week. BYU polished off New Mexico last night. Now Coach Liddell Anderson says the squad is prepping for the NCAA tournament.
We're working as hard as we can for the highest seed we can get right now, and that's enough incentive. But we needed a gut buster in the second half, and we got one. And we hung in there tough, and that mental toughness came out in our team. Came up with some better defense the second half, and some big, big rebounds and big, big loose balls that we needed to get. And that kind of meant the difference.
One NCAA berth could be decided tonight when Cornell will go against Penn. Cornell will be looking for the Ivy League title and the automatic NCAA invitation that goes with it. The Women's Downhill World Cup ski race was snowed out today at Aspen. Three Swiss skiers fell at the same spot on the course due to low visibility. Officials stopped the race. At the time, Canada's Karen Percy was enjoying a lead of more than 1 second. For the ABC Information Network and for Johnny Holiday, I'm Maury Trumbull.
Good afternoon, folks. This is Jim Madonna with Alaska Gold Trails. I'll be here each Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. to give you information about gold mining in Alaska. Today we have a real special guest, Mary Hansen from Big Delta, and we'll be visiting with Mary in just a few moments, so stay tuned. While we visit with Mary, some of you folks might have a question or care to talk to Mary for just a few moments. So if you'd like to give us a call, the number here at KFAR Radio on Alaska Gold Trails is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. Where do the miners sell their gold? Everyone knows they sell it to the precious metals people. Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street. In addition, Oxford also has some fascinating precious metal gift and investment ideas. These include sending gifts of silver. Listen to this, folks. The silver Alaska coin and the Oxford Alaska bar. These one-ounce pure silver pieces are a unique way to share Alaska with friends and family for under $10 each. And here's a super idea. A one-ounce pure silver rounds priced at 95 cents over the daily quote. The 1987 American Gold Eagles are now available with four sizes to choose from, starting at $65 for the 1/10-ounce coin. Add a 14-karat gold bezel with a chain, and you have the perfect gift for that someone special. Gold coins and ingots from around the world, available in all sizes, starting at $25 apiece. And don't forget, genuine Alaskan gold nuggets are truly the Alaskan gift. Stop by and view their fine selection starting at just $28.50 a pennyweight. Give gifts of lasting value that will long be remembered. Give gold and silver. Now available from your precious metals people, Oxford Assaying and Refining at 208 Wendell Street. Their phone number is 456-3967. That's 456-3967. And I just received a message from Oxford, and the closing prices on gold, silver, and platinum are gold today, $437.40. Silver, $6.43. Platinum, $477.50. And by the way, folks, last week I had a kind of a disruption on the metal prices, and that I got the prices on the morning fix, and by the time the show took over, we had the afternoon fix being quoted on Oxford's special quote line. And you know what that number is. The number is 452-7858. So if you ever want to know what the precious metals prices are, simply give them a call, keeping in mind that they not only offer the morning fix, but the afternoon fix, which might be somewhat different. During the contest last week, we had a chap phone up, and he gave us the correct answer for the afternoon fix, of which I was not privy. And of course, when he hung up, I had said that it was not quite accurate according to the information I'd gathered. If that chap would kindly phone me up, I think I owe him a dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike. So, with that in mind, we've got a couple of messages here before we meet Mary Hansen, who is our guest today. First of all, I want to let you all know that the 10th Annual Conference on Alaska Placer Mining is coming up on March 22nd through March 26th, and they will have a variety of sessions, including a technical session on placer mining, case histories of placer mining, and of course they're going to have exhibits and a trade show, which would be of interest to all people who are, of course, interested in placer mining, whether recreational or large-scale open pit mining. And, of course, we don't want to forget the Alaska Women in Mining Miners Ball, which will be held in conjunction with the Placer Mining Conference. In terms of prospecting and mining classes, the University of Alaska Mining Extension has a fine group of classes for you, and we would suggest early registration. One of the classes that's coming up that is of particular interest to the people, of course, is the Mining Extension Gold Prospecting class, which is a three-day class held two evenings and one field trip. This is an exciting class for the beginner. They have a lot of fun on this class, which deals with predominantly methods of gold prospecting, gold small-scale gold mining, and of course going out into the field and putting the theory into practice. So this is a very practical course for the beginner. That class will start on May 13th and or the 20th. So if you want more information on that gold prospecting class, you can simply call the Mining Extension office. The number is 474-7702, and they will be happy to give you more information. That's 474-7702. Other classes which are coming up that are of course of particular interest to the public are the Rock and Mineral Identification class, which will start March 21st, and the Basic Prospecting class, which will also start on March 21st. So for any of these classes, call the Mining Extension office, and if you'd like to have information regarding other classes that they offer, the people there will be happy to send you out a schedule of
the full line of classes, which, by the way, lead to a 1- and 2-year certificate. Okay, with that in mind, then, I think I'd like to tell you a bit of information about one of our fine sponsors here of Alaska Gold Trails, and that, of course, is Larson's Jewelry. And if you recall, Roy Larson was on our show not too long ago, and he started Larson's Jewelry in 1946. And today, when you think about jewelry, you think about quality, and of course, that aesthetic style of beauty. And when you want quality, you always think about Larson's Jewelry, located at 4th and Noble. That's where you can rely on quality and originality. Whether you're looking for wedding rings and bands or a special piece for that special person, Larson's Jewelry has been in business, like I said, since 1946, and they offer full jewelry and goldsmithing service. That means they can take raw gold and create rings, bracelets, necklaces, and earrings right on the spot and in a design of your choice. Larson's can also add diamonds, rubies, sapphires, or other gemstones from their large inventory to your new or existing jewelry piece. They can repair and rebuild jewelry, including shanks, loops, and chains. It's a comfortable feeling when you know you're getting quality as well as value. At Larson's Jewelry, they have a fine selection of silver sets and crystal that's sure, with time, to become a family treasure. And for a special gift that will be long remembered, they now have a new glass etching and engraving service. And you might want to stop over there and take a look at some of the products. But listen, Larson's is more than a jewelry store. Their wide selection of beautiful trophies and plaques can be personalized to commemorate a special occasion or achievement. And I want to remind you folks that here a couple of years ago, Leah Madonna of Alaskan Prospectors put up a fine mineral display out at the airport, and it was Larson's who did the engraving on the plaques within that mineral display. And it's a beautiful display within the plaques. Simply add to its aesthetic value. For your safety and peace of mind, Larson's also has a complete locksmithing service, including installation and servicing of all types of locks and safes. For anything you need, they have it on hand. Just remember, Larson's can, located at 4th and Noble, open 9 to 6 weekdays and 9 to 5 on Saturdays. Visit today or give them a call at 456-4141. The number, once again, is 456-4141. As I said earlier, we're here in the studio with Mary Hansen from Big Delta, and I'd like to say hello, Mary Hansen. How are you today? And welcome to Alaska Gold Trails.
Thank you.
Tell us, Mary, where were you born? And give us a little background.
Well, I was born in Italy back in 1905. I came to America in 1909. I came to Alaska in 1928, and I've been here ever since.
1928. Tell me, do you have a little information regarding what you did between the time you were born and the time that you came to Alaska, Mary? Didn't you have some time in a working, or how were you raised, and what kind of atmosphere?
Well, I was raised in an Italian settlement in Seattle.
I see.
And my folks had a boarding house, and so I grew up with cooks.
And did you, in the boarding house, tell us about the clientele of the boarding house. What kind of people stayed there, and where were they going, and what were they doing?
Well, it so happens that the boarding house we had, this would be along about 1910, from 10 on, 1910. Our boarders were all either going to Alaska or coming back from Alaska. They had either fished or prospected or worked on the railroad. That they were building the railroad from Seward to Fairbanks. So all I heard was Alaska. So it was only natural that I one day come to Alaska.
And so they built your interest on Alaska. Tell us, what about your parents there, that they were operating this accommodation? Tell us some of their background.
Well, my father and mother, of course, we were all Italians. My father worked in the steelworks there in Seattle. And, of course, my mother was quite, we were quite interested in anything Alaska, because that's all we heard. And our boarders were very enthusiastic about Alaska, whether they were fishing, prospecting, or mining, or working on the railroad for some reason. A lot of them worked on the in the copper, too, down in Cordova and that. So, but anyway, that's all I heard. So along about 1920, my folks, my father died. And after he died, mother moved back to a little home we had. And then, of course, I married, and of course, I married quite young.
And how old were you, Mary?
I was 14.
That is quite young, isn't it?
And the man I happened to marry talked about Alaska, as my boarders had, and as later my stepfather. I had a stepfather, and all he talked about was Alaska. He had worked on the out of Cordova for the Guggenheims. He was called a Guggenheim prospector. And so he wanted to bring mother to Alaska, and so that's all they talked about.
So all this talk about Alaska then just increased your interest in Alaska and the last frontier, is that right?
That's right. So when I met Mr. Morris, all he talked about was Alaska. And so one day, he threw a coin. We married, and he threw a coin whether we were going to Canada or Alaska, and it came down Alaska, and so here I am.
I see. How'd you get here, Mary?
Well, in those days, we came by boat.
Uh-huh.
From Seattle into Seward.
Uh-huh.
And then by railroad. Then you either went to Nenana or Anchorage or Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm.
And I first went into Nenana. And
isn't that where they have the put the golden spike?
Yes, uh-huh. About 1923, I think Harding drove the golden spike. When they get through with the railroad, they celebrate, and that happened to be Harding's chore then to come up here and drive the golden spike
uh-huh.
on the bridge there at Nenana.
Now, did you come to Nenana first and then to Fairbanks, or give us?
I came to Anchorage first.
Ah, and what did you do
and
there
worked,
in Anchorage?
I worked in the restaurants. I also worked in the canneries first.
Mm-hmm.
And someone met my husband and got him interested in taking care of some claims that he had in the Kantishna, which he couldn't go to because he had frozen his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked if we would go and represent the ground and take care of the ground for him.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. And that was in 1929.
Uh-huh. Did you enter into other activities such as trapping and things of that nature prior to going to Kantishna?
The year before that, we had gone to Hope.
Uh-huh.
And trapped out of Hope.
That's south of
Anchorage,
down on the Kenai Peninsula?
And, yes. So in the fall of 28, after having worked in the restaurants and in the canneries, we went to Hope.
Mm-hmm.
We got a dog team together and trapping equipment, and we had a partner, and we went to Hope.
We
went by boat to Rainbow and then across Rainbow to Hope.
Was that fairly profitable, trapping?
Oh, yes. Yes, mm-hmm. It was. We didn't do so very good, but it was our initial try anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And we trapped there all winter, and then we, in the spring when we came out, we again came by boat. You had to go across to the railroad at Rainbow. And then being that you couldn't put dogs on the passenger train, you'd have to wait for a freight, so we just hooked up the dogs and we drove into Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
Then we stayed in Anchorage. I worked in the restaurants, and husband worked on boats. And then that fall, I say, someone asked us to go take care of his ground in the Kantishna. You had to represent it. You had to take care of it or do a certain amount of representing work, or you lost it.
Assessment work.
Assessment work. So mm-hmm. we went in and done that. But we stayed there. This man never came in, never communicated with us. And, of course, the only thing for us to do, we didn't get paid either. The only thing for us to do then was to register the ground in our name.
He let the ground go then.
Yes, mm-hmm. he did, yeah. We never heard from him and I never mm-hmm. knew. So we were in there. We mined there for 4 years.
Mary, I'd like to go into some detail about the mining there, but first I'd like to talk about some of our friends who sponsor Alaska Gold Trails. So we'll be back with Mary right here on KFAR Radio, 660 on your radio dial in just a moment. And by the way, folks, if you have a question for Mary and care to give us a call, the number here is 479-TALK. Keep that one in mind. Also, I want to talk just a little bit about our special friends over at Gabe's Truck and Auto. And whether it's an auto or a light truck, motorhome, or a big rig, for the best service in town, it's Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair. And by the way, folks, that's not just my opinion. Last year, the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce gave Gabe's Truck and Auto their prestigious Raving About Fairbanks Award for providing the best vehicle service in Fairbanks. Gabe's has 2 large shops and 8 mechanics on hand to serve you. With that much attention, you know you will get fast, courteous service and have your vehicle back in a hurry. In addition to engine and general vehicle maintenance, Gabe's can also repair automatic transmissions, realign front ends, and repair, mount, and balance tires. New and rebuilt engines come with a 12-month or 12,000-mile warranty. As you can see, Gabe's is a one-stop service center. And if you need an IM inspection, get this one, folks. Gabe's has a no-pass, no-pay policy. That's right. If you don't pass, you don't pay at Gabe's. Gabe's also has a special deal for you folks who are getting your vehicles ready for winter. If you get an oil change, filter, and lube, or tune-up at Gabe's, you'll also get a free winterization inspection. This 30-minute inspection covers such items as heater, antifreeze, check, gearboxes, inspect fan belts, battery, and all fluid levels in your vehicle. And don't forget Gabe's towing service. He has 3 wreckers available 24 hours a day and can handle any size rig. Getting a tow is as easy as calling 456-6156. With this icy weather, you might want to write that number down and put it in your glove box. 456-6156. You can turn your rag into a ride at Gabe's Truck and Auto, located off Van Horn Road near Metro Field, or give them a call, and the number once again is 456-6156. And now a message from our special friends over at B&L Pawn Shop, and you know where they're at. They're at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman. B&L Pawn Shop is the most unpredictable variety store in Fairbanks. Now, folks, in my opinion, that's an understatement. It's more like having a giant garage sale in one room. One-stop shopping will get you everything. Just to give you an idea, let me list a few items. Jewelry, clocks, stereos, headphones, guns, scopes, winches, propane bottles, tools, hats, musical instruments, cameras, TVs, radios, typewriters, and the list goes on and on and on. In fact, you can get anything at B&L Pawn. B&L traditionally has offered tremendous savings, but in addition, if you tell Killer you heard it right here on KFAR, she'll even sweeten the deal. And if you tell her you heard it from Jim on Alaska Gold Trail, she'll even sweeten it more. If your money is a little tight, they'll be happy to help you out. Bring in anything you feel is of value or use, and the folks at B&L will loan you the money to get through to better days. Or if you sell items on consignment, they'll work with you on that, too. So if you're looking for anything from snowshoes to diamond rings, see the folks at B&L Pond, 605 Gaffney. Jim, Bruce, and Killer will be happy to deal. Killer never says no. They'll sell anything but the chandelier, and only then because it's attached. However, folks, ask Killer. You just never know. That's B&L Pond, corner of Gaffney and Cushman. 452-6491 is their number, and they're open 9 to 7 Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 on Saturday. And remember, tell Killer you heard it here on Alaska Gold Trails, and she'll sweeten the deal. Once again, folks, we're here with Mary Hansen. And if you'd like to talk to Mary for just a few minutes, or you have a question of Mary, please give us a call here. The number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Won't you give us a call? Mary, we were talking about your travel from Anchorage and move to Kantishna, where you and your husband started gold mining. Would you? What kind of gold mining? Was that open pit mining, or just
this
how was it?
This was called placer mining.
Placer mining.
Yes. All you have to do there is put in a dam and wash your overburden off. You get down to bedrock, set up a set of boxes, and pick up a head of water there, and you're in business.
The type of mining that you did there was a very special type of water flow called booming, wasn't it?
Yes, that's the way I understand it. It was a very, in those days, a common person didn't have much money, could go mining, they used to say, with $13 worth of canvas and nails, and a lot of hard work, you could build your own dam and start washing off the overburden so you could get down to the gold.
Uh-huh. And tell us about, can you kind of explain how that booming system worked? And there was a byproduct inside the booming trough as well. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the booming and the byproduct that occurred?
Well, you built like a box, like open at the top, with a floor and the two sides, and then you had on the sides you had a log that carried a weight. You generally had rocks in a big box, and when the you had a gate on your, this canvas covered your dam, and the weight of the water would roll the canvas up, and the water would rush out.
Mm-hmm. Very fast.
Very fast. Yes.
And into the sluice box?
Oh no! That was only for washing the overburden off.
Uh huh.
Yeah, you had to do that first and get down to. You spent maybe you might spend a month at washing the overburden off, and after the water came down through there, then you got it down in the creek and you threw out the heavy boulders that the water hadn't rolled too far. So that's the big job with mining. Mm-hmm. There's an awful lot of rock before you find the gold.
Were you part of the work crew that threw those big rocks out?
Yes, I was.
Uh-huh.
I threw many rocks out. I found out there was an awful lot more rock than there was gold.
Tell us about the edible byproduct that occurred in that booming mechanism.
Yeah, when you let the water out of a dam like that, if there's fish on your creek, they're going to get caught on the floor of the dam.
Mm-hmm.
So when I wanted fish for dinner, all I had to do is let the water out of the dam, and I'd take an axe handle or something handy, go in there and pick out the nice big ones and hit them on the head and take them home and eat them.
I see. In those times, you got, and out in the frontier like that, you got much of your meat right out there in the bush, didn't you?
Oh, yes, we did.
Yeah.
We got our moose,
uh-huh,
and our caribou or birds or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we did.
What was I want to talk just a little bit for the sake of our listeners about what was required to get the staples into Kantishna right after a couple of announcements, Mary. Hardworking miners need hardworking equipment. You'll get the equipment and service you need at George's Saw Shop, 520 Church Street, right next to the News Miner Building. Space heater repairs are done, all types and all sizes. The brands such as Champion, Coring, Master Heater, and others are all repaired at George's Saw Shop. Need parts for an engine? George's Saw Shop has a complete line for Briggs & Stratton, Tecumseh, Wisconsin, Kohler, and others. Chainsaws, George says, we sell the best and service the rest. That's George's Saw Shop. Get a new Husqvarna, Solar, or Poulan. And a special service, chainsaw service. Bring in your chainsaw for a tune-up and cleaning, complete repair, and or sharpening of the chain. George's Saw Shop services all brands and carries bars, chains, and accessories to fit any chainsaw. For top quality service and equipment, visit the business you can depend on. Visit George's Saw Shop next door to the News Miner Building. Open 8:30 to 5:30 Monday through Friday and 9 to 1 on Saturday. Questions? Just call 452-2069 and ask for George's. George or his lovely wife and partner, Barbara. That's 452-2069. And now a word from Alaskan Prospectors. They are back once again, open for the spring and summer season. They have a full line of brand new minerals and crystals from around the world. An exciting array of gifts for people and friends. And they, of course, are open beginning today. In addition to the crystals from around the world, they also have a new shipment of small-scale recreational mining equipment on hand. So if you're interested in small-scale placer mining, crystals, rocks, and, of course, information regarding the mining industry of Alaska, stop by Alaska Prospectors, located at 504 College Road. Their phone number is 452-7398. Their phone number, once again, 452-7398. And now, a message from our friends over at Arctic Springs, Robert, Charlene, and James Johnson. They own and operate a family business here in Fairbanks called Arctic Springs at 285 Alta Way. Alta Way is located just right on the Cushman Street extension, just two blocks down south from Van Horn Road. They started manufacturing leaf springs and U-bolts for all sizes and types of vehicles and heavy equipment several years ago. Because of their interest in developing a leaf spring manufacturing plant in Fairbanks, they became one of the first businesses to be awarded the use of the Made in Alaska logo for businesses using Alaskan products and labor. To give you an example of what they can do over there on Alta Way in their 6,000 square foot manufacturing plant, listen to this. They manufacture and recondition springs for snow machines, cars, trucks, heavy equipment, and get this, folks, even aircraft. Springs can be re-arched and U-bolts cold bent to your specifications, and they can raise and lower your vehicle. Arctic Springs handles both standard and custom-made coil springs. In addition, look at some of the other items they stock. A complete line of steel, brass, rubber, and Teflon bushings. Torsion bar axles for auto trailers, snow machine trailers, and, of course, weasels. Finally, folks, they build trailers to your specifications, so bring in your blueprints or sketch. In addition, they have two huge 30-inch by 8-foot heat treatment ovens, which can accommodate just about any material that needs heat treating. That's Bob, Charlene, and James Johnson at Arctic Springs, 285 Alta Way. Or give them a call over there at 451-8612. That's 451-8612. Once again, folks, we're here with Mary Hansen. And, of course, if you have a question for Mary here on Alaska Gold Trails, give us a call. The number here, once again, is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255 right here on KFAR Radio, 660 on your radio dial. Mary, we were talking about some of the mining and so forth that you were doing in the Cantishna area. Give us some information regarding how you got your supplies, your staples, and you told us that you simply hunted your meat in the area. How did you get the other staples that were required to sustain you out there in the bush area of Cantishna?
Well, when we went in there, we came up the railroad and went in through McKinley Park and went to as far as the Toklat River, and then down the Toklat River to Crooked Creek, and then up Crooked Creek to where we were mining. So we had then an outfit with us from Anchorage that time. Now, to replenish that, you couldn't go back out that way because you'd have to go to Anchorage. So you went to Nenana by dog team, and that's about 100 miles. So you hooked up your dog team, and you went in about once a year. You went in, and you got in the spring, before your mining, you went in, and you got your what you figured you'd use for the... This is the staple. That's all dry things. And you relayed that. You carried it about anywhere from 18 to 20 miles. And you dropped it and you went back, got another load. You relayed all the way back. So you'd done that in the spring. Then you might, if you had done pretty good, or you might in the fall, you might make a fast run into into Nenana to leave your gold there and to buy a few things that you might not have had for a while. You might go and have a steak at one of the restaurants in Nenana.
The men didn't imbibe in anything, did they?
Oh yes. Oh, yeah. Well, yes, you did.
What was Nenana like?
But remember that it was dry then, so you had to do that on the cover.
Undercover?
Oh, yes, undercover.
Ah, things were dry.
Oh, yes, the state was dry.
Oh, my goodness.
But there was plenty of wet stuff around.
Tell us about Nenana and where the wet stuff was.
Well, you had to ask somebody, and they would put you on to someone else that had it, and they'd bring it to you, or you'd go to their place.
I
didn't go, but my husband was very good at it.
Yeah, yeah, I see.
And that isn't the husband I had last. That happened to be my ex-husband.
Is that
but
right?
But anyway.
Mary.
Gold at that time was only $20.
Oh, is that right?
It wasn't 400 like it is today, or 800 like it went to.
Mm-hmm. Mary, I think you've got a phone call here. Let's see if somebody has a question for you. Hello there, you're on the air.
Good for medical help if she had any babies out there in the wilderness there.
You want to ask Mary if she had any babies and what she did for medical help while she was out at Kantishna?
Yeah.
Okay, Mary, do you understand
the
question?
Yes, I do.
Okay, why don't you give us some information?
I didn't have a baby out there, but I did have a miscarriage, and that's quite a story. I wouldn't want to go into it.
Did you see any bears or other thing that way?
Oh, yes. Saw a lot of bears. Killed a few. Killed a few moose.
And some close
lots of
calls.
Lots of caribou. What?
Do you have any close calls with bear or anything? They come up and take your staples?
I've had them come right up to the house, and yes. But I've never been frightened of them. I could tell quite a few bear stories. I better not.
Well, that's what I was wondering. And then I was wondering, can you say what was the biggest piece of gold you ever found there?
Oh, about an ounce and a half. We expected, in those days, the gold that we mined on Crooked Creek, we used to get $17.50, which was very high. Remember that at that time, gold was pegged at $20 a fine ounce. A $20 gold piece was considered. That's where it was pegged.
What year was that, Mary?
That was up to, I think they changed the price of gold in 1934, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
Up to then, then we got 30 something, but before that it was, and most of the gold was low grade in the Kantishna. A lot of it was $11-$12. We were very lucky on Crooked Creek. We would come out with about $4,000, which was considered a small fortune in those days.
Well, one thing else more I'll ask you, would you do it again?
Oh, yes. I do it tomorrow.
Okay, I'll go with you. Okay.
Okay.
That's my question.
Who am I talking to?
Shirley Dale.
Okay.
I'm from Minnesota.
Okay.
From Waseca, Minnesota. Okay, I'm going to hang up now.
Okay.
Thank you, Shirley. Well, Mary, they asked a couple of questions there that we can spin off of. You were talking up to the time that you had a medical problem there. And what did you do following your sick illness that occurred?
Well, following that, I gave up mining, and I gave up my husband. I broke up housekeeping.
Oh, I see. And tell us about...
I took the dogs. It was after cleanup, after we'd cleaned up the gold, and we split it, of course, split the blankets, and I mushed out.
Mary, I don't want to interrupt the sequence of information, but could you tell us in a chronological order what you did during the different seasons? You said it was the fall of the year that you were going out, and you just completed the cleanup. When did you start mining, for example?
Well, you generally, the water wouldn't start running, you know, till about very good until about the 1st of June.
Uh-huh.
So...
Do you start at stripping overburden the 1st of June?
Yeah, you can start about the 1st of June.
Uh-huh. And then what did you do regarding the sluicing?
Well, after you let the water out of the dam came down to... you got your overburden off, then you set up boxes along the creek. And then you left the water open because you wouldn't dare have that much water go through boxes. It would wash everything down the creek. So you just picked up, you had a hose then, and you picked up what was called a sluice head of water.
Mm-hmm.
And that would go through your boxes, and at the bottom of the boxes you had gunny sacks and that to catch small gold.
Beneath the ripples.
Yeah, beneath the mm-hmm. ripples. And in the boxes you had... we had holes that would catch the gold.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and the smaller stuff would be caught at the bottom there in these gunny sacks. And the last thing you did then in the cleanup, you took those sacks and you burnt them, and you the small gold then, or the you might save mm-hmm. and pan that.
Yeah.
You got every last bit that you could. But we were noted for losing a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mary, during the following the sluicing period, about what time of year did you complete your sluicing operation?
About September. Yeah, you figured any time after the 1st of September, you figured you were through. You
uh-huh.
might go longer, but you had to figure it that mm-hmm. way, from June to September.
And you finished then the cleanup. That means that you cleaned the material out
yeah.
of the boxes.
Took
and
everything
you
out of the...
cleaned up all the concentrate and black sands.
Yeah.
And when did you finish or complete
well, then
the concentrate?
You could take that up to the house and you could clean
mm-hmm.
that at your
leisure.
At your leisure, yeah.
And how long did that take, generally?
Oh, that would for what we got, it wouldn't take just more or less a few hours now and then.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
And by the end of September, October, you were finished.
Oh yes. Then
uh-huh.
you'd have to wait for. Of course, then you got ready for trapping.
Okay, so then in the winter, then after October, you would trap all winter long.
Trap, that's right.
Uh-huh.
Pick up that way. That's how a lot of prospectors stayed out in the hills in those days. They didn't have the money, so they had to pick up some trapping.
You're very popular, Mary. You've got another phone call.
Oh,
let's
my.
See what the folks have here. Hi there, you're on the air. Welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. You have a question for Mary?
Yes, Mary, when I lived in Nenana about 25 years ago, there was an old-timer that lived next door to me, and I used to visit with him. He said he'd been out in the Kantishna area, must have been many years before that. His name was Charlie Grice. Do you remember somebody like that?
Charlie Grice?
Yes. He was, this was about 25 years ago, and he was way up there then in years, but he said he'd mined and lived out there in the Kantishna area, and I just thought there was that many people.
But unless he mentioned Mary Morris, I wouldn't know him because I have been at Delta for almost 50 years.
Oh, I see. Well, I just assumed that he'd been out there, you know, maybe in the 30s and 20s and 30s, you know.
If he was nowhere where I never heard of him.
Oh, okay. Well, very interesting program. I like to hear about these old things. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Mary, I'd like to get back to just how you came out of the Kantishna area in just a few minutes. But first, I'd like to tell folks about our friends over at K&K Recycling. And K&K Recycling, of course, is located at 8.5 Mile on the old Richardson Highway. And we know that K&K is the leader in recycling in the Pacific Northwest. And, you know, I've really got to hand it to Bernie Carl and Connie for their work in recycling. They have certainly built a good Alaskan business there that looks to solving environmental problems. They have a ability to take in what the metals that have accumulated over the years here in Fairbanks, Alaska and the surrounding area, and they've recycled it. And they have certainly offered a service to Alaskans. And I do want you to know that Bernie Carl of K&K is a former miner and believes that our natural resources must be preserved. And in addition to that, Bernie has appeared in many schools throughout the area to explain the value to school children on the benefits of conservation and recycling. He's also traveled overseas as well as given many presentations down at Juneau and other areas to people interested in recycling and the benefits of recycling here in the state of Alaska. So if you have ferrous or non-ferrous metals, K&K is ready to buy and pay cash on the spot. So if you've got these things accumulating in your backyard, by the way, you might want to take that junk and turn it into cash. That's K&K Recycling, located at 8.5 mile Old Richardson Highway. Their phone number over there is 488-1409, and they're open from 8 to 5:30 Monday through Saturday. And I'd like to also comment regarding that you can call them up at 488-1409 and get the daily metal quotes. That's K&K Recycling, 8.5 mile Old Richardson Highway. Another area that people should start thinking about, especially the placer miners, and that is, of course, Hector's Welding, located at 13 mile Richardson Highway. And they have been serving Alaska for many, many years. Their 14,400 square foot shop is capable of handling the most demanding work quickly and efficiently. Listen to the list of services. They can replace dozer blade liners. They also rebuild loader buckets and ripper shanks. They do heavy equipment repairs and modifications, and mining equipment fabrication is their specialty, including sluice boxes, conveyors, feeders, grizzlies, and screening plants. They also fabricate specialized riffles and punch plates, so you placer miners might want to keep that in mind if you're getting ready for the season. Think about Hector's Welding, located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. You might also want to give them a call if you're planning to fabricate placer mining equipment. Their number again is 488-6432. And now, folks, an all-new service, Flocculants. Hector's is the gel log distributor. There's a free test kit available for all you placer miners. All you have to do is stop out at Hector's and pick up the kit. Remember, folks, it's free. Wherever Alaska miners are working, Hector's is the first name in gold recovery equipment, located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. Phone 488-6432. The number once again is 488-6432. Once again, folks, we're here with Mary Hansen, and if you have a question of Mary or like to talk to her for a few minutes, give us a call. The number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. And once again, like I said, Mary, you're becoming more and more popular. The line is lit up. Hi there. Welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. You're on the air.
I have a question for Mary. I was wondering what they did for entertainment. Was there the Saturday night dance or card clubs or just what was there?
Where? In the cantina or in the town?
Well, in the town, when you spent your winter there, did groups get together?
Well, about all they had was, you'd go from one house to another maybe, but there was no entertainment in those days. That came later. In Fairbanks, when they brought whiskey back or liquor back. So you made your own entertainment. You either read or argued with your husband or talked to the dogs or anything like that. Mm-hmm. That was your entertainment.
Mm-hmm. What about a record machine?
Yes, a lot of people had them. I didn't have one.
Oh, wow.
I didn't have one.
Mm-hmm.
But there was many. A lot of people took one out. Yes, I was never that lucky. You had to carry everything on your dog sled, you know. So a lot of those things I had to forego.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was wondering. And thank you, Mary.
Thank you for your call, Mary. Tell us after you came out of the cantina, and you said you came out by dog team, did
yes.
you?
Yes. Yes.
And how far was it once again?
So it was 100 miles to Nenana.
And you mushed out of Kantishna?
Yeah. So I mushed out of camp, walked down the creek with my dogs. We split the blankets. So I took 5 dogs and left my husband 5. And walked down Crooked Creek to the mouth, and then we had to cross the Toklat, and then to Henry Knight's Roadhouse. But we waited at some of the places. We had to cut brush and logs and sometimes freeze in someplace so we could cross. We finally got to Knight's Roadhouse. That's about 40, 45 miles from Nenana. Then from there we made it, it was pretty good, from there on into Nenana. And that's how. Then after I got into Nenana, I decided to go into Fairbanks. So that's 1933. So I took the train there, put my dogs on the train, my dogs and my cat and a bird. And they let me put it on the freight train, and I came into Fairbanks in November on Thanksgiving Day, and it was very, very cold. And they had made a special dispensation to let me take the dogs off of the train, and I stayed with friends, and I've stayed in Fairbanks then for years.
Uh-huh.
What I did worked you do? In the old model cafe for many years.
Uh-huh.
I was a waitress there, and then later I went cooking. Of course, I always cooked, so that was always one of my lines, cooking or baking.
Did you meet any fascinating strangers there?
Oh, yes. When I went to work at the model, I met my third husband.
Who was?
Bert Hansen.
Bert Hansen.
Yes.
And Mary? And
after knowing him about a year, working around the same places, we married, and about a year later, we went to Delta.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I'm living today.
Were there any interesting stories you can tell us about working in the restaurant there with your new husband or husband-to-be? Did you have a special clientele that happened in...
Oh, yes. We, in those days, Fairbanks, you know, only had about, in the wintertime, about 1,500 people, I'd say. And in the summer, it swelled twice that much because of the miners, of course. And so after I'd been in Fairbanks a while, they asked me to go in the dog mushing. In those days, the mushing then was very primitive. There was very few. They only went in for fun. There wasn't any money in it. Somebody might give $15 or $20, but that was about all. So I did challenge. They challenged me, of course, and I told them if there was any woman that had dogs that raised them herself and trained them herself, I would go in. But surely I wasn't going to take a team of dogs that done freighting and put them into a race. But after I married Bert Hansen, he kind of liked the idea, I guess. So we built up a team, and he wanted to go in the races. So he told me.
And how did you do in the races, Mary?
Well, I always beat three or four men, and I did have a saying that if I beat one, I'd stay in. And it so happened that I did beat old Stuttered.
Oh, you did?
Yes. I figured, well, as long as I could beat poor old Stuttered, I would stay in.
That was quite an achievement, right?
Yes.
Look, Mary, we're getting real close to running out of time, and we have another one of your admirers on the line, so let's give them a quick moment to ask a question, all right? Let's see. Hi, you're on the air. Do you have a question for Mary?
Yes, I'd like to say hello to Mary, and her story is very interesting. I enjoy listening to her.
Thank you.
And I know how hard it is for mining because I do spend the summers once in a while out in the mine, and I know how hard it is to try and get a little bit of gold.
Who is this?
My name is Betty.
Betty,
thank you so much for your call. We're going to have to scoot here, and thanks again for the call.
Thank you for being on.
Bye now, Betty.
Bye-bye.
Mary, quickly, round up. We got 1 minute left. Round up what you did after you left Fairbanks and you went to Big Delta.
Well, the bus company came into knowing Bert and I in Fairbanks, him a cook and me a waitress, they offered us a place at Delta to feed their buses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did.
So you opened a roadhouse there, huh?
Yeah, for 37 years we run Bert Mary's Roadhouse. We had three different ones. The last one was at Black Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still there living on the old homestead.
Okay.
And I have raised a daughter there, and I have grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And
okay.
I still work. I work at the school, at Delta School.
Good.
I work in the kitchen.
Mary, thank you so much. I want to thank you for being on our Alaska Gold Trails today. And I want a quick message from Tip Top Chevrolet, and then we'll be into the news. Robbie at Tip Top Chevrolet may seem like an easygoing guy, but when he saw all the new 1988 Chevrolet trucks, he really
went overboard. He couldn't stop himself from stocking up on so many models that he's posited that if you can't find exactly what you want in a truck at Tip Top, it just doesn't exist. Why did a normally sane fellow go so out of control? Well, you'll just have to take a look at the new 1988 full-size pickups at Tip Top and see for yourself. Maybe it was the all-new, sturdier-than-ever box front frame or the new aerodynamic styling with smooth lines and rounded contours to reduce wind drag, or perhaps it was the high-tech computer engineering efficiency for all types of payloads. How about the large, easy-access doors, the two-sided galvanized steel, the eight-layered finish, the all-welded box, or the big, comfortable cab? Who wouldn't flip over the new extended cab pickup that seats up to six people? You like four-wheel drive? Robbie's got the 4x4 Chevy with shift-on-the-fly power to go all four wheels instantly. That's Tip Top Chevrolet at 1916 Cushman. Their phone number is 452-8211. Tell Robbie you heard it here on Alaska Gold Trails. Thanks, folks. See you next week at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon.
No Noriega. Give him a 30-day notice and then get him out.
And from Panama City, ABC's Tom Schell reports the economic situation there is going downhill rapidly.
The entire economy, everything could collapse within days, maybe even in hours. All banks in Panama, 130 of them, are closed. The government sent customs officers to some private businesses today, claiming those businesses were selling goods illegally imported. Business owners got so angry they started closing up shop. In short, telling the government of Panama to stuff it. The big blow came when nearly every supermarket closed, but the shutdown is moving through Panama City like a wind-driven fire. Tom Schell, ABC News, Panama City.
And I'll have more after this.
Here's another reason State Farm insures more cars than anyone else. What if you were stuck in a banged-up car in a strange town 1,000 miles from home? Who would you turn to? Well, if you're with State Farm, just about anywhere you can run into trouble, a State Farm agent is there to personally help you get back on the road fast. Hometown service away from home. It's one more reason you feel better with State Farm.
And like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Now at Sears, every Craftsman tool is on sale. Every Craftsman hand tool, hammers, saws, wrenches, all with the famous unlimited warranty. All Craftsman power equipment, saws, drills, circular saws, lawnmowers, tractors, lawn trimmers. You can save over $50 on a 1/2 horsepower garage door opener for only $128, the lowest price this season. If it's got the name Craftsman, it's on sale, but only until Saturday.
There's more for your life at Sears.
See store for warranty details.
If the Postal Board of Governors approves at a meeting next week, the price of a first-class postage stamp will jump 3 cents to 25 cents. The cost of bulk mail advertising and postcards will also go up. The Postal Service says the increases are needed to cover rising labor and health costs. A special NASA advisory panel says it has some criticism of, but found no flaws in NASA's safety program during a 14-month study following the Challenger disaster. A committee spokesman says they found no showstoppers, at least nothing serious enough to delay the next space shuttle, now planned for August. The FAA has cited Northwest Airlines for 129 safety violations, including flying two airliners that were not airworthy. However, an FAA spokesman in Chicago says all of the Northwest violations have been corrected. The Contra rebels have kidnapped 13 volunteers in northern Nicaragua, including an American identified as Richard Boren of Elkin, North Carolina. A Contra spokesman in Washington claims the group was merely being detained by rebels who suspected them of collaborating with the Sandinistas. The Witness for Peace organization says Boren was documenting Contra activities, including alleged human rights abuses. In the Senate today, a bipartisan group began planning to put together a new humanitarian aid package for the Contras. Democrat David Boren of Oklahoma.
We have a moral obligation not to desert these people without even food and medicine at this point in time, and not to pull the plug on the negotiating process.
Boren and four other senators plan to begin work on the compromise aid package while Congress is out of session next week. The Executive Presbytery for the Assemblies of God Church plans a special meeting in Springfield, Missouri later this month to decide the punishment of TV preacher Jimmy Swaggart, who confessed to a sin of the flesh. Some church members feel Swaggart's 3-month suspension was too lenient. On Wall Street today, the Dow lost 5.5 points. This is ABC News. Lawyers for former Congressman Pete McCloskey went to court today in an effort to keep GOP hopeful Pat Robertson from dismissing a $35 million libel suit. The suit goes on trial March 8th, Super Tuesday, and Robertson claims it would interfere with his campaign. McCloskey accuses Robertson of abusing the judicial process by trying to get the suit dropped.